On Wednesday, students at from the Florida High School will march on Washington, D.C. to demand action from lawmakers to tighten controls and stop taking NRA donations. To discuss this unfortunately all too familiar situation, we are joined by our U.S. correspondent, Taylor Kaplan. Good morning, Taylor.
Morning, Casey. Morning, Sam.
So, Taylor, first off, President Trump's accused the Democrats of not acting properly on gun legislation when they were controlling both the House and the Senate under Obama. But what's he doing now in the same situation, and how come he's always able to blame other people?
Well, he feels pretty comfortable in that victim role, which is always blaming others. And I mean, look at the very few amount of accomplishments he and his party have as far as policy goes, even though Trump is president and Republicans hold both houses of Congress. The Democrats had a majority for the first 2 years of the Obama administration, but, you know, by nature of how our government works, it's hard to get things passed, even if you have a small majority. And Trump has given a couple hints that he's open to some reform on background checks, and I mean, separate from the many things you could say about Trump's unfitness for office, that would be a major step in the right direction. But, you know, we've seen this happen so many times before. A shooting in a public venue, a school, in which someone uses a semi-automatic weapon and kills tens of people in a senseless act of violence, and nothing is done about it. I mean, it's we're seeing a lot of talk, especially from the students at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, about holding politicians accountable and holding the NRA, the National Rifle Association, America's biggest gun lobby, accountable, and that's amazing. But we've seen this play out so many times before, and it's hard not to think that it'll play out the same way again, but, you know, we'll see here.
Now, Emma Gonzalez, who was a student at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, made a speech at an anti-gun rally over the weekend. We're just going to have a quick listen to what she said.
If the president wants to come up to me and tell me to my face that it was a terrible tragedy and how it should never have happened and maintain telling us how nothing is going to be done about it, I'm going to happily ask him how much money he received from the National Rifle Association. It doesn't matter because I already know. $30 million! And divided by the number of gunshot victims in the United States in the 1.5 months in 2018 alone, that comes out to being $5,800. Is that how much these people are worth to you, Trump?
I get shivers and goosebumps every time I hear that. She raises a really important point that it does seem it's all about money. How has Trump spoken about this at all?
First of all, that speech was incredible. I mean, you have many students from that school who, I mean, in a time when they should be grieving and in a time when their emotions are completely raw, they're following the money, they're taking the NRA to task, they're holding politicians who receive that money to task, and they invalidate the point that's made by so many, pro-gun people on the right wing that, you know, it's not the time to talk about gun control, that it's too soon. And these kids who are right in the middle of the tragedy, they are taking it upon themselves at this time to take on the gun lobby, and that is just absolutely incredible. Before I get to your question, there's one other quote that I think really gets to the heart of the matter from Cameron Caskey, who's 17 years old, who says from the same rally, "My message for the people in office is you're either with us or against us. We're losing our lives while the adults are playing around. This is about creating a badge of shame for any politician accepting money from the NRA and using us as collateral." So they're focused in their anger, and they're kind of preempting all the gaslighting that comes from the right wing around this time of a tragedy to prevent any talk of gun reform from really taking place. So they're doing something courageous, and they're doing something pretty incredible that we have not really seen before in such a focused way in the wake of a tragedy like this. And Can you repeat the question? I kind of lost my train of thought.
Has Trump made any mention of the financial side of guns?
No, not that I've seen, at least. Not that's received a lot of coverage, because, you know, Republicans don't really want to make this an issue. They want to constantly be talking about the Second Amendment that, you know, people on the right wing have used. They've been out of shape to justify anyone being able to buy any kind of gun for any reason under any circumstances. But the notion that the gun lobby pays politicians to do their bidding and to put their ideology into practice in the form of policy, that doesn't get talked about much, because it's not a good look. That's not good publicity. The idea that you can have all these acts of violence, these shootings that just, you know, you have one after the other to the point where we're just fatigued, and we look at the news and it's, oh, it's another shooting. We know what's going to happen now. That's not a good look for them. They don't want to know their politicians are being bought off by the biggest gun lobby in the U.S., and that these, you know, this avalanche of senseless deaths are the cost of this freedom.
Now, the Second Amendment, you know, it sort of has this idea behind it of fighting back against tyranny and using guns for that. It seems like, I mean, when it's kids taking up weapons to shoot classmates, that doesn't seem to be fitting the purpose at all of what the Second Amendment would even be there for. I mean, how can they sit behind this thing when it's so ludicrously gone wrong?
Well, first you have to look at when the Second Amendment was written, kind of towards the beginning of this country even being a thing, at a time when you had to take a few minutes to reload your gun and you can only shoot someone a few feet away. And also that the amendment explicitly covers the a well-regulated militia of citizens who are who might have to band together to fight a tyrannical government. But, you know, fast forward a couple hundred years and you have a government that has a monopoly on violence, where even a well-regulated militia would not have a chance against them. And we're living in a new age of guns, in which you have these semi-automatic weapons that can mow down an entire crowd of people within seconds. I mean, the founding fathers who wrote the Constitution could not have seen this coming. And it is a completely outdated amendment. Even before you start to bend it out of shape to justify anybody being able to get a gun, before you start to justify a complete lack in some states and some areas of background checks on people trying to buy guns. So you have a completely outdated provision within the Constitution being used by the NRA to justify pretty much its entire ideology, and that's a big problem in the first place.
We're speaking with our US correspondent, Taylor Kaplan. On Friday, Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation filed indictments against 13 Russian individuals and 3 Russian organizations. What are the allegations being made against the Russians?
Well, the allegations being made against the Russians were that they conspired, in both online in the form of creating groups on Facebook and other social media platforms to sow division among Americans on both sides of the political aisle, to build this sense of distrust against both political candidates, and in particular Hillary Clinton. And then you have efforts in person in the form of organizing rallies. I mean, on one day in Florida before the presidential election, you had these Russian nationals, 13 of them, at least a few of them on either side, planning two political rallies, one in favor of Hillary Clinton and one in favor of Donald Trump. So it's like, you know, on one hand, they're probably happy that Donald Trump got elected because it's sown even more division politically. But it looks like, and according to Rod Rosenstein, who's the deputy attorney general who's overseeing this investigation, who's overseeing Robert Mueller, who is overseeing the investigation, there's kind of a lot of moving parts here. You have an effort by these 13 Russian nationals who were taking on, who were trying to blend in as Americans, and these three Russian companies were carrying out this effort to try to turn Americans against each other to try to create a lot of distrust among Americans against their political system, which is why it got Donald Trump elected. And but the formal charge was conspiring to defraud the U.S. election system.
Well, it's kind of fascinating how the Cold War seems to still be going on. There's this idea of people, you know, Russian nationals dressed as Americans kind of going along to rallies. I think it's strange to think that it wasn't just an online effort.
Right, online and in the flesh as well. I mean, you had one of the efforts involved getting a Hillary Clinton impersonator and putting them in this moving car with a jail cell on it during a rally to, you know, create this image of Hillary, lock her up, and just to try to rally the crowd along with that. So you have these online efforts. I mean, social media played a huge role in getting Trump elected, and these real life efforts as well. And the other indictment that's pretty interesting here was Robert Gates, who was a deputy to Paul Manafort, who was Donald Trump's campaign advisor for a stretch of a few months during the campaign. And Manafort resigned once it became news that he acted as a lobbyist for a pro-Kremlin political party in the Ukraine. So he has ties to the Kremlin, to Russia. And if there's anybody in Trump's inner circle who knows about money laundering, about conspiring with Russians to win this presidential election, it's probably Manafort. And Gates knows everything he knows. And now Gates has flipped and is cooperating with the investigation. So you have someone within Trump's inner circle who knows probably about the money, where it went, what the connection was between the American and Russian governments, and these Russian nationals, these Russian companies who were working from the inside to spread this misinformation campaign. So you're seeing Mueller work from a lot of angles here, and we're not quite sure where it's going to end up. But things are starting to heat up, and they're starting to get a lot more interesting.
Well, it's certainly a complicated and multifaceted story. Thanks for bringing it to us, Taylor, and we'll hear more again next week.
Absolutely. Talk to you then.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Taylor. It's our U.S. correspondent, Taylor Kaplan.